Either. You're listening to Eaters.com.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa. Wa salamun ala ibadihi allazina astafa. Amma ba'd, fa'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم صدق الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, Alhamdulillah, for the past few sessions we have been covering the beautiful attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ar-Rashid, which means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who guides a person to the right path. In the last session and also the session before that, we covered the very important concepts that by following a certain pattern in Sharia, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless an individual with istiqamat. Istiqamat means to be steadfast and to be firm on his deen. The scholars have mentioned what is very, very important and what is required from a person when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him the guidance, the hidayat. The guidance to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He is our Lord, He is our worshipper. To have the love for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the heart. Not just love, but this blind love, passionate love for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That whatever He says, it is stuck in the heart. And you believe whatever he says, that is love of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To love the Qur'an, to love your deen, and to have an understanding of what is right and what is wrong. This comes from the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ar-Rashidu. The challenge is istiqamat, to remain firm and steadfast. So many people make an intention that from now on, I will never miss my Fajr Salah. Alhamdulillah, they make an intention. Very good. That intention is also very good. They might be strong for 1 month, for 2 months, and then slowly they fall. That level of istiqamat is not there. They might make an intention that from now on we will read 5 pages of the Quran at least every day. And they do it, mashallah, for a few weeks. But then thereafter it becomes a bit difficult. It's not that they are uploaded with a lot of work, but what happens? That when you miss out one day, then your entire pattern is in a ruin. And slowly that gives the shaitan the opportunity to climb back on top of you and to push you down. And so istiqamat is something that is very, very important when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a person hidayat. When Allah has given somebody hidayat. Now, inshallah, I want to actually conclude the session in covering this beautiful name of Ar-Rashid, how we can gain istiqamat. That means that we are firm upon our deen all the time. We are firm upon our deen all the time, and that we remain firm and steadfast until we meet our Lord insha'Allah ta'ala. There is one very beautiful formula that is mentioned in the Quran, and I also touched on this in my Urdu session. This topic is so important that the Urdu crowd on a Wednesday is very elderly and a few in number as compared to the crowd that we have on a Friday. And just for us to understand that if a person wants to become very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if a person wants to become this special individual that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes him and loves him, and Allah's nazar is on him, that Allah is watching him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is assisting him all the time. Subhanallah. The golden rule and the thumb rule is mentioned in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهِ. Follow my Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you will become the beloved to Allah. We have heard of sunnah, sunnah, sunnah all the time. But what we don't understand, that this one word sunnah, inside it, it holds the entire Jannatul Firdaus. In this sunnah is the entire Jannatul Firdaus. Everything is about this most important word in the Islamic terminology, sunnah. That is why you will never find in a hadith where Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, follow my hadith. Follow my hadith. He has never said that. He has always said, follow my sunnah. Hadith is different and sunnah is different. Sunnah is the established practice and the pattern of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what he did. Sunnah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a role model. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. That for you the best example is in my Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Follow him. You don't have to be a hippie, fashion conscious. I have to dress up like that person, dress up like him, do this, do that. No, no, no. This is only very temporary for a bit in this dunya. Very short lived. Our real clothes are the kafan that is there. What is it? Unstitched, the kafan that is there. And think about it. Think about it. The first night of the grave, how will that be? What is the hospitality that will be given to us in the grave? How will it be for us when family members or friends will be lowering us down and they put us down? And then everything is shut upon us. This entire dunya is closed once and for all. Everything is taken away from us. It is seized. It is the end. It is akhirah. No matter who you are, then what happens? How will that one night be? How will that first night be? If your first night is good, insha'Allah ta'ala, then every night will be good. But even in the grave, the importance of sunnah will have to be identified. A person will only recognize Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam if he had some relationship with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If he knew Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If he followed Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is something very, very important, my respected brothers and my young friends. This is not something that is outdated. There is no expiry date. We have to understand this, that we will only be successful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made that very clear. مَنْ يُتِعِ الرَّسُولِ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ. The one who makes ita'at, who is obedient to my Rasul, he is obedient to me. Bas. وَمَنْ يُتِعِ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. And the one who is obedient to Allah and His Rasul, for him, he is the winner. He is the winner. And it's not very difficult, my respected brothers, for a person to follow the sunnah of Nabiyyu Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It's really not difficult. What we need to do is first make sure that we follow the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam in things that we do regularly, daily. Master that first. So there are things that we do without a choice, we have to do it. Have you got a choice in sleeping? Nobody's got a choice. We all go to sleep, right, Kerong? We go to sleep, we wake up. So now we have to sleep. Let's master this. How did our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam go to sleep? Bas. That's all. Very simple. The basics. Start with the basics. You don't even have to do wudu just yet. Let's look at the main circle first. Then go towards the other outer circles. Read your kalima, read your kul huwallah, kul a'udhu bi rabbil falak, kul a'udhu bi rabbin nas, read your ayatul kursi, read kul ya ayyuhal kafirun, read your istighfar, make dua, and do tawbah istighfar and sleep on your right side. This way. And then when you are sleeping, and then if you have a habit of kicking people and moving around, that's okay. But initially that's how you sleep. Now you are sleeping. You are sleeping in accordance to the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you get thawab. Subhanallah. There are so many other sunnans of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When you wake up, subhanallah, take the name of Allah and read the dua, and read the dua. And then when you wake up, the first thing we have to do is, of course, we do wudu. And when you come and when you read, if you read tahajjud, that's very good. But if you read your sunnah, that is also a sunnah. And you read your farz namaz fajr. So you end your day with isha and you begin your day with fajr. These are the things that we have to do. We have to sleep and we have to wake up. We all have to eat. We all have to eat. So now when we have to eat, eat in the sunnah way with your hands. MashaAllah. You know, if you're finding it difficult with your 2-3 fingers, it's fine, just eat with your hands. And read Bismillah, Bismillah wa ala barakatillah, never forget that. It is so easy, but by Allah, the shaitan makes people forget even something as easy as Bismillah. People forget that. And when you finish eating, read the dua. Read the dua. These are the things that we are always doing. MashaAllah. We come to the masjid. Put your right leg. Masjid ki dua. Read that. Make niyat of atiqah. And read durood sharif as you come and enter the masjid. MashaAllah. Sawab. After namaz, when you have finished everything and when you exit the masjid, left leg out and then read the dua. And make dua. These are the things that we do. We travel, we have to go out and exit the house. So, when you exit the house, what is the dua, what is the manner when you are traveling, what dua should we read? And then when you come back to the house, what are the things that you have to do? And then when you meet your Muslim brother, what are the things that you have to do? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And so what a person needs to do is that in his lifetime, without wasting time, understand that this is my pattern and this is my routine. And put a tick to the sunan that you are practicing. That in my day, I wake up, I do this, I do this, I do this. Is there a sunnah for this? 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 Imagine how hard we work for our business. You have a retail shop. Oh, is the outside deco looking good? Are we inviting the customers to come? Will this shelf look good here? Or will this shelf look good there? Or will this happen? Or should we do this? Should we invite somebody else? Do we need to change the brand or the products that we are selling? And we work so hard for this dunya. Don't we work hard for this dunya, my respected brothers? In anything. Whether you are in business, whether you are a professional man, every time you are constantly thinking that how is there taraqqi? What is there for me? How do I prosper in this dunya? Then what he needs to do is that take his day, 24 hours, and fill in the gaps, and fill in the sunan of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wallahi, don't take these things to be very, very small. Don't take it very, very small. The dua that you read can save you from cancer. The dua that you read can save you from an accident. The dua that you read will save you from the harm that is coming from the shayateen. The du'as that you read will save you from the harm that is there, imminent, and it is there from your enemies that is there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect the person. And all that is kept in the sunan of Nabiyyu Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is so important, my respected brothers and elders. And this is the only way forward. This is the only way forward. We always hear, mashallah, we are always using a toothbrush all the time. Now and then have the fikr, get a miswak. Get a miswak. Use also a miswak. Put it there with your toothbrush. Mashallah, your one sunnah, most important sunnah of Nabiyyu Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You come to the masjid, put itar, apply itar. That is also the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The sunnah is not just something that we know of today, and we are very inflexible and, you know, very strong. We are very assertive in certain things, in certain sunnah of Nabiyyu Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But sunnah has a very broad spectrum to it. So for an example, you are very, very angry, and now you suppress your anger. What do you do? That is the sunnah. What did you do amal on? The sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You were very, very angry. Very angry. And you took control. That is sunnah. You save yourself from doing backbiting. That is the sunnah. You save yourself from pride. That is the sunnah. You save yourself from swearing, lying, kizb. That is the sunnah of Huzur alayhi salam. You have the ability to forgive someone. That is the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You have wealth and you give that to the needy. That is the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You save yourself from sins and guna. That is the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in fact, you understand the art of how to behave in front of people. A person should behave in such a way that his behavior should be an attraction for someone to love Islam. That is the akhlaq. That he should behave in such a way that his behavior becomes an attraction for a person to enter into Islam. This is something very, very important. But today how we behave, my respected brothers, in the masjid we behave very pious. In the masjid we behave very, very pious. But just outside, we exit the masjid, this man is a different brand of a person. He's a very different person. He's very, very different. And so, the akhlaq of Huzur alayhi salam, Nabi Kareem, Hazrat Aisha says, Allah's Nabi has never ever hit a woman in his life. Has never hit a woman in his life. Now things have changed. No, women hit men. Women hit men also. I also get that. There was this one man who said to me, "Mauli Sahib, I gave talaq to my wife." I said, "Oh, why?" "She was hitting me too much." "What was she doing?" "She was beating me up." Subhanallah. Very ajeeb. And really, the wife is hitting the husband. The sunnah is Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "I've never hit." Hazrat Aisha says, "He never hit a lady and not a slave or a servant." The sunnah of Huzur alayhi salam. A man came to Huzur alayhi salam and says, "O Nabi of Allah, what is Islam?" Allah's Nabi could have said 5 namaz, zakat, hajj. He says, "What did you ask me?" He says, "What is Islam?" He said, "Tibul kalam." Tibul kalam. That when you speak in a way that you comfort someone. When you speak in a way that that person feels comfortable with you. That is Islam. Tibul kalam. Imagine. Look at the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That you sit with somebody, give him time, that is the sunnah. That someone's not well, you go and visit him, that is the sunnah. You go for the janazah, that is the sunnah. You stay for the burial, that is the sunnah. You come to the masjid a bit early, that is the sunnah. You spend time with your children, that is the sunnah. You spend time with your parents, that is the sunnah. You spend time with your family, that is the sunnah. Subhanallah. And you pray and you educate yourself for you to come to the masjid here and sit. That is the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If there is no sunnah, my respected brothers, then there is nothing in our life. So what we need to do, get a pen and a paper and start writing down our 24 hours. And mashallah, nowadays we have computers, we have everything. Write your whole routine. And think and say that, did I read my dua? Did I do this? Did I read my exiting dua, entering dua, when I went to the masjid, what it is? And even when it comes to how you are outwardly, don't get me wrong, my respected brothers. Of course, there are people when they go to work, you might have a uniform, you might have to wear a shirt, you might have to wear a trousers. I understand all that. Where you have to, it is absolutely fine. Padte rahe. Islam is a very beautiful religion. It's not telling you, you know, to make everything into a masjid. It's not that. Islam understands that you are in a different environment where you have a lot of people that are out there. But at the same time, whatever you are wearing, at least in your heart, have the love for the sunnah libas. So mashallah, at leisure time, when you come to the masjid, when you are free, wear clothes that are sunnah. Wear clothes that when somebody looks at you, immediately he will know that this person is a Muslim, mashallah. Immediately he will know this person is a Muslim. So these are things that are very, very important, and we have to make sure that we give this knowledge to our children and our youth. Slowly what happens is that in the masjid, topi disappears. What happens? The topi disappears. No offense to anybody who's not wearing a topi today. And then shaitan, slowly, slowly what happens, he will one day make the imam disappear also. What will happen? Our minarets will disappear. And the dome, which is like a topi, that will disappear. Then they will say, no, masjid should not have minarets, no domes, Maulana Sahib should not have an amama. And subhanallah. And these are things, my brothers, that we are witnessing today. Allahu Akbar. When I went to Bosnia a few years ago at a conference, and there was Mufti Saab there who was going to give a lecture. So we were waiting for Mufti Saab to come, and I was there in the front saf. And one man came and he said, "Alhamdulillah, Mufti Saab is here now and the program will start." Believe me, Mufti Saab stood up, he was wearing jeans, and I'm not talking about what clothes you wear, but he's a great scholar in his own way. But then he just put on this thawb and he put on the Turkish cap that they have. And he was sitting in front of me, and I didn't know he was even a Mufti Saab sitting there. And he stood up and he did whatever he had to do. So after namaz, I met him, I greeted him. In Arabic he was speaking, because that was the only medium we could speak, no other language. So I said to him, you know, mashallah, I just feel that after what has happened to the Muslims in this part of the world, don't you think we should work hard to bring in this sunnah environment to show people? So he says, no, in the country that we live in, if you grow a beard and if you wear an amama, you are considered to be a man of ISIS, a member of ISIS. Look at the thinking. Look at the thinking of people. This happens with time, slowly, 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 slowly. The next thing you know, everything is gone. Allahu Akbar, everything is taken away from you. You won't even know what is happening. So basically, a man who is wearing sunnah libas, he is considered to be a Taliban or a very extreme. Astaghfirullah, I'm not saying anything about Taliban or anybody, but generally these are the titles that are given in the world today. And I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. I'm not here to judge anybody. Allah is the one who judges. Of course, in your workplace, you have to wear a uniform, you have to wear a shirt, trousers. Well, that is fine. There's not an issue. But have that love for the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We have to make sure that is very, very strong with us. Sunnah is sunnah. Eat with your right. Wear your watch on your right. Everything, mashallah, everything should be sunnah. Everything around, we should think of the sunnah. The du'as, we should think, what is the du'a for this? What is the du'a? When we go for umrah, it's once in a lifetime. Hajj, once in a lifetime. Memorize all your du'a. Do everything perfectly. So it is in accordance to the sunnah. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, he was a master in the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Daily, he would go to locations where he knew Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam had performed salah. He would go there, daily. In fact, he was so meticulous that at times he would go to locations in his travels and he would stop and he would sit alone in a squatting position. So some people say to him, Abdullah ibn Umar, you know, what are you doing? He says, no, no. I'm just sitting in this position because I have seen my Nabi stop here and he went for the call of nature. Allahu Akbar. How were these people? And they were like Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam outwardly and inwardly, that somebody else who would come into the masjid, they would have to ask, "Bhai, can you tell me who from amongst you is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam?" Subhanallah. Who from amongst you is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi? All of them were like angels, very handsome, very beautiful people that were sitting. And they would only recognize Huzur alayhi salam, of course, by the adab that was given by Sahaba-e-Kiram ajma'in. Allah's Nabi was always in the front. We see in the time of Musa alayhi salatu was salam, when Fir'aun summoned all the magicians and they said that Musa alayhi salam and his brother Harun are also magicians. So I want a team of magicians that will defeat these two and call them sahirin, as magicians. Musa alayhi salam and Harun alayhi salam were not magicians. Who were they? They were the prophets of Allah. They were the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. And so the custom was that when Fir'aun would be present to witness that day, then both parties have to dress up in the same way. There is equality between all of them. So the costume that both the teams that would put on, rivaling one another, they would have to wear the same clothes. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was in his clothes. And there were approximately 8,000 magicians and they were wearing their costumes, how the magicians would dress up. So the leader of the all of them said that, look, you know, we are the majority and they are only two. So we will say to them that you have to dress up like how we have dressed up. You have to dress up like how we have dressed up. So they came to Musa alayhi salam and they said, look, Fir'aun will be there, and you know what the rule is. So you have to make a costume that is like us, so that across the board everyone looks equal. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam refused. He said that, I will never dress up like you, the magicians. I will dress up like how I am the Nabi of Allah, and my brother is also going to dress up like how I am. And so now the magicians didn't know what to do. So all 8,000 of the magicians dressed up like how Musa alayhi salam had dressed up. So they asked him, okay, tell us on that day, what clothes will you be wearing? And Hazrat said, these are my clothes and this is how I'm going to be, with a stick. And so they had to make special clothes, and all of them dressed up like who, Nabi? Musa alayhi salam. Allah ki shan. When the rahmat of Allah opens up, subhanallah, that attraction is something that anything can be attracted when the rahmat of Allah opens up. Now these were people who were the enemies of Musa alayhi salam, with the intention to defeat him and to humiliate him. When they saw Musa alayhi salam and the stick that became this gigantic snake, Allahu Akbar, thereafter all of them fell into sajda, all of them. And they said, Rabbi Musa wa Harun, by our Lord is the Lord of Musa and Harun alayhi salam, and our God is the God of Musa and Harun alayhi salam, and we believe in Allah, the God of Musa and Harun alayhi salam. And imagine, 8,000 of them are doing sajda to Allah. And Fir'aun is on his balcony on top looking at this. And all of his people, advisors are there. And now you have to give excuses. What do you have to give? Excuses. What do we do? If all of them become Muslims, then your whole kingdom, you will lose your whole kingdom. So quickly the advisor said to Fir'aun, that say to the people, that it seems that these two magicians have done their magic also on our magicians. Subhanallah. And then Musa alayhi salatu wasalam looked at them, and they were punished by Fir'aun. They were actually punished. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Musa alayhi salam, when he said, Ya Allah, you gave them hidayat and you didn't give Fir'aun hidayat. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I gave them hidayat because they decided to dress up and take up the image of the Nabi of the time, and the greatest Nabi of the time, who was Musa alayhi salam. And because of that, Allah opens the door of hidayat for them. Imagine. Subhanallah. And so if we as Muslims also dress up, alhamdulillah, then you will see that the world will change in a very different way, and people will get used to the fact that, okay, these are Muslims, Muslims are like this. These are Muslims and Muslims are like this. And this is how they dress up. Everything should be according to the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was one Abyssinian Sahabi from Africa, and obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates people, and certain people from different parts of the world, Allah has created them in a different way. So obviously somebody from Africa, they have curly hair. And so Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hair was zulf. What was it? And there was a parting in the middle. What was there? A parting in the middle like this. And so one lock would fall on this side and the other one on the other side. And so sometimes the hair would come to here, and sometimes to the earlobe here, and sometimes to the shoulders. Sometimes if it was delayed, the hair would come to the shoulders. Otherwise, Huzur alayhi salam would trim it, and the hair would come this way. Now for us, even if we want to keep the hair, we can't, because we are losing hair. We are losing hair. I think a lot of people bichare zulfe rakhne bhi ho to nahi rakh sakte, because people are losing hair. But khair, Huzur alayhi salam sunnat was here. So now, when he would see Huzur alayhi salam, so beautiful, so handsome, at times Allah's Nabi would take his pagri out and zaytun tail he would put on the hair. And this beautiful, handsome Nabi with hair here. And this Sahabi would wish and desire that, oh, only if I had my hairstyle like the hairstyle of my Nabi. If my hairstyle would become the hairstyle of my Nabi. And what was logic to them, what was something that we understand as something that is sensible for them. These were people who blindly loved Huzur alayhi salam. For them, Allah's Nabi was everything. One day he was sitting and there was this rod, a hot burning rod, a metal piece, and it was very hot. So he thought in his mind that, you know, I can never have a natural parting. So he took that metal rod and he placed it towards the middle of the head, and he made a straight line, burning the hair from the middle and also burning some part of his skin. And it was a bit painful for him, but then he started saying, ah, alhamdulillah, ah, alhamdulillah. And then he says, now, subhanallah, even the fact that he could not have zulf because of the curls that were there, at least he says, I have some parting, some resemblance, subhanallah, to my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Incredible people. Really incredible people. People who actually love the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. For them, everything is there. Look at the sacrifice of a Muslim lady. MashaAllah, is it easy? In this country, in England, and Allah has made her very beautiful. Musalman ki aurte sabse zyada haseen hoti hai. Kya hoti? Sabse zyada haseen. Sabse saaf. Sutri, sabse zyada haseen, Musalman ki khawatin. You go anywhere in the world, Muslim women are the most beautiful. Alhamdulillah. And naturally, a lady who has got beauty, she will always want to expose her beauty, because it's something that Allah has given her. Any man who is given a gift will want to show that. So for a woman, her beauty is something that is of the highest level. And look how she suppresses her nafs. Look how she makes amal on the sunnah. Look how she wants to please Allah and His Rasul, that she will dress up in such a way that she will cover herself, and that she might even want to cover her face, and she will walk. وَلَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ. And she fears no one. You can say whatever you want to do. You can say whatever you want to do. You want to swear, you can swear. You can do whatever you want to do. But I will walk very proudly, like how my Nabi wants me to be. Subhanallah. This is Qurbani. So we should be very, very proud of the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my respected brothers. Allah's Nabi has said, alaykum bi sunnati. For you to be successful, follow my sunnah. For you to be successful, follow my sunnah. MashaAllah, I was at the surgery and I had seen half the doctors that were there all had a beard and a topi, and some of them were in their kurta. Ajeeb, MashaAllah. But I suppose they could do that because 99% of the people who go there are all Muslims anyway. So Alhamdulillah, that environment is very, very good. But dekhe mere azizo, subhanallah al-azim. Sunnah in everything, not just your clothes, in your akhlaq, which is more important, in your buying, selling, in everything. How my Nabi did this, how Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. Ask your local ulama, ask them and learn the etiquettes. Very important. Alaykum bi sunnati. Teach your children the sunnah. Sit with them five minutes every day. And sit with them and say, acha beta, I told you the sunnah yesterday, remind me of that one sunnah. And so did you practice on that sunnah? Did you do this? Did you do that? And when you do your wudu, make sure you wash this. This is also the sunnah. Explain to the children. Sometimes when they do wudu, they don't know how to do wudu. Explain to them. There are so many things that we need to make sure that we are giving and imparting. And inshaAllah ta'ala, when a person follows the sunnah, bas baat khatam kar raha hun. Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam has said, Allah will bless him with four things. Man hafiza sunnati akramahumullahu bi arba'i khisalin. Allah will give him four things, four ni'mah. Al muhabbatu fi kulubil bararah. When a person makes amal on sunnah, then the pious people from the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah will put that person's love in the hearts of awliyaullah. In the hearts of awliyaullah. And that person, all of them, the friends of Allah, will be making dua for him. Naturally, people will like him. Naturally, people will be connected to him. Naturally, people will like him. Because if you make amal on the sunnah. And then, al-haybatu fi kulubil fajara. Those who are bullies and sinful people and those who like to cause harm and difficulty, when they see people who make amal on sunnah, Allah puts fear in their hearts. Allah puts fear in their hearts. Like sahaba ikram ajma'in, when they would march, the enemies would have to go back. And they would turn back on their heels. Sahaba would go and they would turn back on the heels. They were ajeeb. It was as if Allah would cast fear in the hearts of people. Because they were sincere. And then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَالسَّعَةُ فِي الرِّزْقِ. Allah will open the doors of sustenance for him. He will get a good job. Allah will give him lots of money, lots of barakah. And he will earn a lot. And subhanallah, Allah will give him the wealth. And then the last thing, which is again istiqamat, wasikatu fi din, wasikatu fi din. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him istiqamat in his deen. Istiqamat means that he will be firm and steadfast. That means that at the time of death, Allah will give him the tawfiq to read the kalima. That means that Allah will give him a good death. That means that Allah will give him a good sakarat, that when he dies, there is no difficulty for him. There is no sakarat for him. In fact, he will die in such a way that he won't even know. Only in alam-e-barzakh he will realize, oh, I have passed away and this location has become jannat for me. Why? Because in his entire life, he was working, he was doing everything what other people do, but he was mindful of the sunnah. He was mindful of the sunnah. And this is something very, very important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. And also with that, have a habit of reading Durood Sharif all the time. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This will connect you to Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq inshallah, that we make amal on the sunnah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, if all of us can shut the eyes and for a few minutes inshallah concentrate, and let us purify the heart and think that the heart is taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين. اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.